said I threw them outside.
Where exactly did you throw them?
I'm not sure.
Tell me where.
And it wasn't until I guessed the right place, because somebody had found them, you see. And it wasn't until I'd made up where I threw these, Jim, that then he went,
you're a liar.
Bang! Big, and this was in the days that you didn't hit kids at school. I got a smack on the bottom and I had 2 weeks down. I was in P6 or 7 at the time, and I got 2 weeks down in the P3 class or something. And I vividly remember that story. And I'm sure that had quite a profound impact on lots of things as I grew up. Because when I became, a young teenager and three, I was an awful liar. I lied about everything just to make sure I never got the blame for anything again. And I'm sure it all stemmed back to that incident. I've no idea. But anyway, getting blamed for something you didn't do. Now, I tell you, there's people here who have maybe been blamed for far worse things than throwing a pair of gym slippers. There's maybe people here who suffered far greater consequences than 2 weeks down in P2 or whatever it was I got. So I'm not trying to say my instance is the worst. It just had a very big impact on me at the time. So what are we talking about tonight? Well, we're continuing to talk about Joseph's life and how it turns out to be a life that's profoundly unfair. And the poster outside starts with the word caution. And I think that's part of what the purpose of this series is. It's a warning to us. It's to tell us all, beware. Be aware. Life is not fair. It's a statement of fact. It's a warning to us. Because sometimes we get so wound up about the fact that life is not fair, it leads us down all sorts of paths of self-pity, of how that the whole world is against me. It's not just against me, it's against all of us. And it's just to make us aware that life is not fair. Then people come to down the road of starting to blame God for all the messes that they find themselves in their lives. And we want you to be aware that life is not fair. And there's many, many examples of it. We were just coming to Joseph, and that was the phrase that came to us, life's not fair. But we could pick many other characters out of the Bible, and they would demonstrate how their life was not fair either. We've seen already how that he was his dad's favourite. And while you might think that was a good thing, it actually brought him a nightmare when he was growing up. And he could easily have, he didn't ask to be his dad's favourite. We then find out that he's a very honest, upright sort of lad who would calls a spade, and if his brothers are acting up, he'll quite happily, and his dad says, "Well, your brother's acting up," and he'll go, "Yeah." He got into trouble that way. And he doesn't do anything wrong, but he becomes hated and despised by his brothers, so much so that they're about to kill him. And then they realize that they could actually make a wee bit of money, and they sell him into slavery. And boys and dear, I'm sure on that, however he traveled into Egypt in that caravan of the Ishmaelites, he could have cried out, life's not fair. But it certainly wasn't fair. We're going to read today from Genesis chapter 39. And we're going to read the next portion of Joseph's life. And I wish I could tell you this is when, all his enemies get their comeuppance and life turns out rosy. Unfortunately not. Life's going to get worse for him. And many of us will know this story, but we'll read it anyway. I'll read it in wee sections and comment on it as we go. So the first 6 verses say this. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So Joseph arrives down in Egypt, and one of the first things we read is that the Lord is still with him. And that seems to be the complete bedrock of Joseph's life, is that the Lord is with him. We keep reading it time and again, and the Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him, it causes success in what Joseph does. Because Joseph continues in walking in an upright way and in an honest fashion, and the Lord is able to bless him and able to bless Potiphar's household simply because Joseph is there. And Potiphar's not an Egypt, he's a captain of the guard. He knows a thing or two about people. He's in charge of that many people, and he sees the blessing of the Lord upon Joseph, and he realizes, look, I can put this guy in charge of everything, and I can trust him. I can trust him with my entire house, and my entire house goes well. So that's what Potiphar did. Then we read on. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. Joseph is still the same man that he's always been. Completely upright, completely honest, and dependable, trustworthy. No wonder Potiphar put him in charge of his house. Because even when tempted with Potiphar's wife, who day after day is nagging him, come to bed with me, come on, come to bed with me, every day, he refuses to buckle. He refuses to give in. Doesn't say he wasn't tempted with the opportunity, but he did not. He was resolute, and it is fantastic, his resoluteness, but unfortunately his trustworthiness and his honesty is about to land him in trouble once again. Let's see what happens. Verse 11, one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. And she kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. And when his master heard that the story his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Falsely accused. And not only just falsely accused, but he's accused of the exact opposite of the thing that he actually did. You know, I was falsely accused of throwing those gym slippers away. But it wasn't like I was the person that was trying to recover those gym slippers. I was the one who was constantly on the lookout for missing gym slippers, and all of a sudden I get blamed for throwing them all away. No. Joseph was the epitome of trustworthiness. And he had resisted Potiphar's wife's approaches day after day after day. And yet, then the tables are turned on him. She starts lying this instant of sort of makes itself, lands on a plate before her, and she seizes it. And she's probably, you know, she's probably mad with Joseph. How dare he resist me? You know, I don't know what feelings she would have had, but she would have started to have contempt for him. A wee bit like the way his brothers had contempt for him. And, of course, Potiphar shares her anger. Well, doesn't want to know what Joseph has to say. And into prison he goes. Life is not there one day. Joseph's life just is the epitome of unfair. You know, I'm not going to be able to quote it. Patty shared the video clip of Sylvester Stallone. There's Keith could quote it. He one of his favorite clips. What is it Sylvester Stallone says? Nothing's going to hit you as hard as life. Well, Joseph was fairly, there was more to it, but I'll stop. Yeah. Nothing will hit you as hard as life. And certainly Joseph is getting hit with punch after punch after punch. And here he is in prison for attempted rape in a country that he got to because his brothers sold him into slavery. But is Joseph broken? I would say not one bit. Listen to how things go on. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Joseph wasn't broken one day. Joseph continued to be the same man that he always was. He continued to be an upright man. He continued to be a trustworthy man. And the prison warder realizes that straight off and says, I can put him in charge of the whole place. He's going to look after it for me. I've got no hassles. Joseph was not broken by the unfairness of life. He continues to be upright. What I think is fascinating is, and I think key to the whole thing is that it says God continues to be with him. I'm trying to find it now. God continues to be with him. Verse 21, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness, and in some versions it says he showed him mercy, and in some versions it also says he showed him steadfast love and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. To be wrongly accused, I think it's one of the most awful things. And as I said earlier, for me it's only in a very small way. But I get annoyed even when I think somebody's thinking something wrong of me. Have you ever got that feeling when you think someone's blaming you for something that you didn't do? And even that annoys me. It makes me feel that's not fair. Let alone when you come across cases of people being falsely imprisoned for things they didn't do. I don't know how you would cope with that. Imprisoned for a crime you didn't commit. And Joseph's situation, just being the very fact that he was the exact opposite of what he was accused of, life is not fair. Well, how come life is so unfair to Joseph? Why did he end up in prison? Well, while he was continuing on in the presence of God, God was with him, while he continued on in the ways of God to be upright, to be honest, to be trustworthy, Potiphar's wife certainly was not. She was the one who experienced all those feelings of rejection, or whatever it was she experienced that led her to the anger, that led her to the lies that she told. Potiphar's wife, or Potiphar himself, wasn't going to listen. He was just going to listen to what his wife told him. Well, of course, he was standing there in the presence of all these other servants, no doubt, and he had to act, and this is what he did to the Hebrew slave. These are all the patterns of this dark world. This is what happens when lies are told. This is what happens when people are corrupt. This is what happens when the truth is not heard. It's a dark world. We're told time and again this is a dark world that we live in. It's Satan's domain, the domain of lies, the domain of darkness. He is the father of lies. This whole situation has his name written all over it. Lies, deception, deceit. What does God... We're all in one opinion. Life is unfair. And we can all see that Joseph's life is unfair. But what does God offer Joseph? What do we read in this situation that God offers him? What does God do for him? Well, there's three things. Number one is God offers him his presence. God offers to be with Joseph. Because it says time and again, and God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. He offers to show him his kindness, or show him his mercy, or show him his steadfast love. Basically, to show him that God is trustworthy. While everything in the world is not trustworthy, God is there offering his presence to be with him and to show him his trustworthiness. And when you see it in comparison to how he's treated in the world, that's where you get the light and darkness. Where the darkness is the world and the light is God, and the comparison is just not there at all. It's like the most opposite of opposites. Darkness and the light. And where possible, we see God granting Joseph favor in other people's eyes. See that he's granted favor in the eyes of Potiphar, and he's put over his entire house. We see that he's granted favor in the eyes of the prison warder, and he's put over the prisoner, certainly his part of the prison. And we get God's blessing upon him. Life's not fair. Why would I, in the midst of my unfair life, and I think we can all say to some degree our life is not fair, why would I turn to God? Because it doesn't take you to read the Bible too long to find out that what God is not, certainly not promising to do, is to get you out of your unfair life. In fact, you know, when we turn to God, God talks about, or Jesus will talk about us following him. And he says, listen, I don't even have a house. I don't even have anywhere to call my home. But follow me if you want. And as we follow Jesus in his life, we see that he, if we think Joseph's life was unfair, Jesus' life is infinitely more unfair. The things that happened to him. And of course, the lies and the deceit just has increased. And he, as the only... Like, if we think Joseph was a good person, there's nothing compared. Joseph was a good for a person. Jesus was perfect. And yet Jesus was found guilty of a crime he didn't commit and was crucified, murdered brutally. All the while he could have got out of that situation, but he was brutally murdered for a crime he didn't do. Why turn to that God who's not going to necessarily rescue us from the unfairness of life? But in fact, in some ways, he promises us that if you follow me, life might become even more unfair. Your hardships might become harder. Why would we turn to a God like that? Well, we turn to a God like that because he is the light in this dark world. He invites us to join him in the light, in his presence. In that place where there is only righteousness, there is only acceptance, there is only truth. The place that no one can harm you in the presence of God. He invites us into the light. He invites us into his presence. He invites us into his kindness. He invites us into his mercy. He invites us into his steadfast love. And if that wasn't good enough, and let me tell you, none of us really knows how good that is to be in the presence of God. There's always more of God's presence. There's always more to know of God. But if that wasn't good enough, he even promises. You see the worst of your situations, David. See the worst of the unfairness that happens to you. I can work that for good. I can find good in that and bring some good out of that situation. So even the worst situation that you go through, the most unfair thing that happens to you, I can bring good out of that. Nothing is wasted, not even the worst things that happen to us, when we are in the presence of God, when we are loving God and trusting God. What a God we have. A God of justice and a God of righteousness. The complete opposite of what we experience in this life. The complete opposite of the darkness that surrounds us. The God of light. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you. As we see in the life of Joseph, as things just continue to get worse for him. Lord, and it's always his integrity that gets him into these messes. Lord, how the world does not like integrity. How the world does not like honesty and righteousness. Lord, how the world hates the things of you. And so, Lord, Joseph experiences the unfairness of this world, the darkness, the lies, the deceit, and the deception. Lord, the being punished unjustly. But Lord, we thank you that Joseph knows you. Lord, we thank you that you offer to draw us into your presence. Lord, where there is only light, where there is only truth, where there's no shifting shadows, where there is no darkness, where there is nowhere to hide. Lord, and we can come to you and find rest. Lord, that we can come to you and find justice. Lord, that we can come to you and find one who understands the situations we find ourselves in. Lord, we can find one who will comfort us in the situation we find ourselves in. Lord, the one who is willing to accept us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are a good God.
Bright and morning star would choose to laugh.